welcome back to another episode of On a Related Note podcast. I'm Mecca.
And I'm Mia.
And how you doing? What stories you got to tell today?
Well, first off, my fidget, he didn't call it a fidget friend, and he said fidget thing. So I guess fidget thing of the episode is this rubber band loom ring that I was gifted. I don't know when. I think I've just had it forever. Yeah, it's like coming apart low-key, but I'm going to be fidgeting with this today because all my other fidget things are kind of noisy and I don't want to hear random squeaks from a squishy cow.
Even though it's one of the cutest ones.
I know, low-key, I'm probably just going to use it next episode and just not do this because I'm slowly running out of cute animal fidget friends.
Off camera, there's a tiny duck. Maybe you could use that as a fidget friend next time.
I have like four right there I could use.
Oh yeah, there's. I'm actually not gonna say them because y'all will probably see them over the next couple. Yeah, weeks, but there are some options.
But my story. A few days ago, I rediscovered a song that I listened on repeat around eighth grade for me, and I forgot it existed. Like I honestly haven't thought of this artist in forever. She's a Japanese artist who was born in New York, I think. So I discovered her through her English covers of existing Japanese songs, and they just sounded like so good. And I'm like, oh my God, who are you? And I found out, oh, it's a Japanese singer. Her English is immaculate. You know, that now it checks because she was born in New York. But it's just, it hits different when you rediscover a song that you haven't heard in like 8 years. And you're like, it's almost like the first time you're hearing it again. But at the same time, it's just like a major wave of nostalgia. And you're like,
I had a couple of those recently.
So I immediately put it in my Spotify likes, and I have been listening to it a lot. So that's my story.
You don't want to drop the sauce, as the kids say? Do they still say that?
I don't know. So the artist's name is Nano or Nano. Her name is spelled in katakana, so I'm going to assume it's Nano. But the song is one of them. It was actually two. One of them is called Blackboard, and the other one is called Never Everland. And that one had like the most anime-esque music video that I thought it was for an anime, but it wasn't. It was just a really amazingly animated music video. But both are great. Yeah, go take a listen if you want. One Blackboard is kind of like emo though, which checks because I was in middle school when I heard it, and I was like, oh yeah, I love this song. This is me. Never Everland, I don't really remember what it's about, to be honest, but yeah, great stuff. What about you?
So this kind of weaves into what our topic is today. So
mine low-key does too, just wait.
So I have yesterday when we went grocery shopping, and I was about to out myself about something, and I was like, I'm not even gonna out myself.
So you out yourself.
Actually, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and out myself. Great. I have accidentally gotten myself hyperfixated on Gambit from the X-Men. I'm not a comic or a superhero girl. Well, like, I've never been.
Make sure I know exactly who this is.
Okay. So I didn't grow up on comics and stuff. There was a period of my life where I was following the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I did it up until maybe Infinity War. And then I kind of fell off. So I didn't watch any of the Disney Plus shows or whatever. Like, I don't know all of the different alternate realities that exist through comic books and all that stuff. Like, that's not me. I'm not pretending to be knowledgeable of any of this stuff. So I did not watch any of the X-Men movies in the past. And I think I might have watched the first Deadpool movie, but I can't remember who I would have watched it with. So I may or may not have, but I definitely didn't watch the second, and I don't plan on watching the third. However, the Gambit scene where he was like, you know how long I've been waiting for this? Ooh, I'm about to make a name for myself in here.
Oh my God.
So that has been like viral. People listening, you might have seen it. I don't know. But anyway, when I kept seeing memes about it, I was like, let me just go. Normally, I don't go and look up, like, why are people talking about all of this? But for some reason, I was intrigued. So I went and I found the clip where he said it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's funny. But then, like, a flip switched in my head. And I was like, wait, do I like Cajun accents? Because Gambit is a Cajun.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, so like this past weekend, I've just been like listening to Cajun accents and like reading Gambit stuff. And it's been interesting. So I know a lot more about Gambit than I should because because he's Cajun. So it also reminded me, I was like, do I have any, like, when I think Cajun, I kind of think Princess and the Frog.
I was literally thinking of going down the bayou.
Yeah, right. So what was the Firefly's name? Not me being uneducated.
Raymond.
So Raymond, crack my knuckles. So when I think about like that accent, I think about Raymond from Princess and the Frog. So I was trying to think like what other Cajun things do I know now that I'm like, oh, Gambit. So no, not like that. Please don't make it sound like that. Oh, so it reminded me there was a character in Supernatural, which I love Supernatural. It was one of my favorite things.
I got it.
Supernatural was one of my favorite things. So I was just thinking, like, there was a Cajun accent in that show. And then it was like, it clicked. And I was like, Benny the Vampire. So I went and like.
Cajun vampire?
Yes, he's a Cajun vampire. So I went and I was like watching scenes from the show with him in it. And I was like, yeah, Cajun accents are nice. So, and then that led to me finding out that the actor who plays him. And the actor who plays another character in the show named Garth, they never interacted in the show. I don't know if they were even on set at the same time. But years later, at a Supernatural convention, they met each other. They hung out or whatever. And they developed a friendship over the years, which turned into a relationship. And they got engaged earlier this year. And I was like,
wow.
It was like 3 a.m. when I was like, in this rabbit hole, and I was so shook, but yeah, that was really interesting. Anyway, that's my story, but it does lead into our topic for today, which is languages. Just, I don't know what about general. Languages, we're just gonna be chatting, but yeah, the thing with Cajun accents, I was like, well, it's not just an accent, it's kind of a language too, but like, I don't know all the ins and outs. So I was kind of reading some stuff about it so that I can say it on, so I can sound like I know what I'm talking about a little bit on this podcast and not just telling y'all lies. So I did go look up some stuff. So you have Cajuns in Louisiana, and then you also have Creole people. And I was reading someone's post on Tumblr who's Cajun and who was like trying to educate people. Like, we aren't spices, okay? Like, Cajun is not just a seasoning, we're people. And then they were like, just, it was an informational post. So they said in that post that all Cajuns are Creole, but not all Creoles are Cajun. So the Cajun people in the 1700s in Canada, the Cajun people lived in a colony called Acadia. But the British came, and it's a long story, so this is very simplified, but they kicked them out, and they settled in the bayous of Louisiana. And so the word Cajun comes from Acadian, Cajun. Mm-hmm. It just got lost in pronunciation from, like, English-speaking people. So, Cajuns, they are... back when they were in Acadia, they often intermarried with, I meant to look up the pronunciation of this, but it was a nearby First Nations people called Mi'kmaq. I don't even want to, like, I apologize if I butchered that. But so a lot of Cajuns or a lot of Acadian people are half indigenous. So when they came down to Louisiana, they also intermingled with Black people who were there, with other Native Americans who were there. So they're very, that was going to sound very uneducated, but like they're mixed. They have a very mixed ancestry. Mm. So it was just interesting learning about that stuff and the language that they speak. Few people speak Louisiana Creole. A lot of people speak Louisiana French, which is also called Cajun. But it's a mix of French, English, Spanish, and indigenous words. Like, it's interesting. So Gambit was saying some things that people, his accent was kind of like a point of contention because a lot of people were like, he did that thing. Like, this is what I always thought Gambit sounded like. And then some people were like, he did not do well. It sounds silly. He over-exaggerated, or it doesn't sound Cajun at all. But he was like saying a lot of French Cajun words in his speech. And Deadpool was like, I don't know what you're saying, but yeah, okay. Which was the point of it, but like, yeah. You had something to add.
Oh, I don't even remember what specifically you said at this point, but Creole in general. Well, it was the all Cajuns are Creole, but not all Creoles are Cajun. Mm-hmm. I took an anthropology, I'm surprised this came up this early because I was going to bring it up and I'm like, well, yeah, it's perfect. But I took an anthropological linguistics course in my last semester in college.
Say that three times fast.
Oh, God, that's why I had to say it slow. And that came up, you know, naturally, the concept of Creole. What interests me is that Creole is like, as a word, is specific to, what does it say? A person of mixed European and Black descent, especially in the Caribbean. But it's also just a linguistic term for a language that is formed from the contact of two pidgin languages, which is spelled P-I-D-G-I-N.
I've seen that word
for listeners. Which that is essentially, if I'm remembering correctly and just giving through definitions, is a simplified form of a language when like similar situation is this, when people are displaced or moved somewhere else and they take the language that they had before, but they're also like intermingling with languages around them or just throughout time, the way they speak becomes simplified, you know, assimilated, whatever, it becomes different. So a pidgin language, though, is specifically like there's not really a strong grammatical structure. They don't have, it's like limited vocabulary. It's like a proto language kind of, but a Creole language forms when a couple of these sort of collide and evolve and become more, and then it becomes like a new language. So like Portuguese-based Creole is what Google has as an example for one of these Creole languages from prior proto languages, if you will. So
that's kind of interesting because the couple sites that I was cross-referencing just in the context of French Creole was that like Creole as like a person is, they like defined it as a person of mixed colonial French, African-American, and Native ancestry. So I think I was just looking at it from the lens of just French Creole, but I thought, like, I was under the impression because of that, that Creole just meant it was a French base, but so it's interesting to know that it's not.
I mean, the word itself might be French. I don't actually remember. So that could be why, like, maybe some of the earlier ones were mostly French, but Google right now isn't directly, Latin, Portuguese, Spanish, French. Okay, so it comes from a couple different things.
Okay.
But the Creole, as we know it, like to look like the word, most recently it says French. So you're not wrong.
So Portuguese is a Creole language?
No.
Oh, but there are languages that are Portuguese Creole.
Yeah, like under Google's definition, the example is a Portuguese-based Creole.
So, okay.
Yeah. So Creole can be stemmed from, I guess, any language, honestly, but it just depends on where in the world, what group of people, who they're in contact with, and like how long. Ooh, my voice did a weird thing there. Probably the origins of why they're there too, like if it's from conflict or if it's from, I don't know, just people moving for various reasons.
That's what,
because
apparently
that could affect like how much the Creole language is influenced by like the main language.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but trying to pull up my, because I should have done this earlier, low-key, with my linguistics doc from class, because I had mad notes in there just about random things that might be applicable if we bring up like technical things.
Well, while you look for that, bringing up Portuguese, so I took Spanish when I was in high school. I did Latin for a semester and I did Spanish for three semesters and I really liked it. And I love languages in general, like foreign languages. English is cool, but yeah. I really enjoy the differences in English and so many other languages. So it's fun to learn languages, but me as a person, I'm very introverted and I'm not good at holding conversations. So that has been a downfall for me when I try to learn a language, is because I'm always too scared to speak it to somebody. So, or just like don't know what to talk about in the first place. So then I end up losing the language. So when I took Spanish, I went on to honor Spanish, Spanish 4, but I ended up dropping it because it was my senior year and I didn't want to take any challenging classes. I just wanted to chill. And Spanish 4 was actually really hard. So my professor was kind of, well, teacher, I don't know. Can you be a professor in high school?
I mean, my DE English teacher told us pretty much to.
But that's because they're a college level.
Yeah, so I was about to say, like, my DE English teacher specified, you know, okay, I'm professor. But everyone else pretty much was just teacher. So, like, well, even my like AP was still high school. So, I guess it depends on the school, but professor is college to me.
Well, my Spanish teacher was upset to see me go because I was, like, one of the top three students in his class. Because I think me and then like two other people, we actually took the class serious. Everybody else was just there for the grade, which is what it is. I really, that is something I want to get across to you in this podcast, is that learning another language is so good for you. And I'm so glad that I had the opportunity to, because it just opens a lot of doors. It introduces you to so many other things. And I just think everybody should try to learn a language because it's real cool. But anyway, yeah, when I was in Spanish, my point bringing this up is that I took Spanish. So when I got into Bossa Nova years later, like hearing Portuguese, I'm like, I always thought Portuguese and Spanish were similar, but listening to people sing in Portuguese, I'm like, it's not that similar. Like there are some words that are, but the pronunciations are like really different. And now I don't listen to Bossa Nova as much as I did. Now I kind of transition into listening to Brazilian funk, which samples a lot of Brazilian music. So there are some, like, you know what I'm about to say? Brazil! Like, there's always, like, every other song, there's that sound bite right, that's just like, Brazil! And I'm like, I don't know nothing about Brazil other than like certain music, but catch me yelling Brazil out of nowhere. Anyway, did you find your doc?
Oh yeah, I found it. I took French when I was in high school I went up to French 4, so I guess it was like once every school year that I had a semester. Similar situation, but there were only, how many students were in your Spanish 4 class?
Boy, like 10 maybe, like it was a very small number.
We had 4. There wasn't enough for us to have our own block of class time, so we were in the same room as French 3 people, which was a little odd because I was in French 3 right before that and then I left French 3, so it was like I'm kind of double hearing things I had just gone over in the previous semester. But we were literally only 4 people, and like only 2 of us cared. And I was like so sad because she would be like, all right, guys, time to pull out chapitre 4 for Le Petit Prince. And we're like, we didn't read that. I read it, but most of us didn't read it. So it was a struggle. But I'm also really glad I took French. I laugh at the memories, though, because I specifically chose to take French in high school out of spite of Spanish. Nothing against Spanish at all, but it, for some reason, annoyed me that people only gravitated to take Spanish and then did not care. They only did it because it was like a requirement for the diploma. And
Spanish is just an easier language to
take. Yeah, so they would just take it and then like goof off. And I did not really want to be in a class with people who didn't care, because at that point in my life, it was already established I like languages and I want to learn or at least familiarize myself with different languages and just not be totally ignorant. So I wanted to take it seriously, and it just didn't seem like people took it seriously. So I was like, well, no one ever talks about French in this school, in this economy. So I'm going to take French because everyone else takes Spanish. And it was giving, like, I'm not like other girls in the moment, and I hate that. But I'm actually really glad I took French because it's a really interesting language. And for the most part, people didn't care in that class. So it wasn't like a total loss. I was still the super slackers. By French 3, they still was pronouncing je suis as like je suis, and it was so sad.
Literally, this guy in my Spanish 3 class, part of me feels like he made it to Spanish 4 somehow, but I don't think so. But so I'm going to say he was in Spanish 3. He was still saying mi cama es en mi casa. And I think the teacher for that class, he is from our area. Like, he was born and raised here, but everybody used to ask, like, are you from Panama or something? Because, like, he was dark-skinned, but he spoke Spanish really well, and his mannerisms was just like, yeah, this guy's good. So I think by that time, he's like, you're in Spanish 3. If you don't know it by now, I'm not about to, like, yeah, argue with you. Cause. So as long as you turn your papers in on time and, like, whatever. So, but it just used to make me chuckle so much when we had to, like, I don't know if anybody's familiar with the concept of popcorn reading, but you start a chapter and then, like, somebody else has to pick it up and y'all are reading one chapter from start to finish. So when we had to do readings like that, or if we just had to, like, read a question from our homework assignment or something, he would just be pronouncing it so American. And it would just be so funny to me, but, like, he knew what he was talking about. So, I mean, that was a plus, but the pronunciation was just, and I don't know if he took the same Spanish 1 teacher as I did, but I would understand why he has that basis, because she, I don't know how she was a Spanish 1 teacher, because she was also pronouncing things kind of like American, and she didn't teach us how to use accent marks correctly. She was just like, spell the word.
In Spanish 1?
So when we got to Spanish 2, that teacher, she was born in Chile, I think. So yeah, so she would get so irritated when we wouldn't use the accent marks. To it got to the point where she was taking points off if we didn't use the right accent marks, because it's important.
It's
if you say a different word. If you say C with no accent mark, it's if. If you say C with an accent mark, it means yes. So like, it's important. So I used to be really irritated in Spanish 1 because, like, I was in there to take it seriously. I enjoyed the language, but she was nonchalant about it, and I was like, well, that's all right, because I'm gonna do my part, okay? Even if it seems like it's being if it's being extra or something, overachieving, that's the word. I was just doing what I was supposed to do. And so when I got to Spanish 2, I was in a better place than some people because I gave myself that basis. And then my Spanish 2 teacher, she set us straight, and then I got to Spanish 3 and I did good. Spanish 4 was just too much of a challenge for me for my senior year, so that's why I dropped it. But yeah. I really derailed your thought process, my bad. You were talking about something and I kind of took over, I feel. I think it was the pronunciation thing. You said people were still pronouncing
stuff
wrong.
Oh, yeah, well, that was just a comment. But yeah, picking up on the class thing and just learning a language. I remember, so also for this, I think we mentioned in like episode 2, mayhaps, that Mecca introduced me to like anime really early on. But before anime, she introduced me to this thing called Vocaloid, which is like technically a vocal synthesizer program, but you make music with it. And it actually originated in English, you know, which is interesting. It was an English and Japanese program.
Vocaloid was, or just?
Mm-hmm. Huh? There are a couple English Vocaloids and then Japanese Vocaloids. And then it branched off into, I believe it was Spanish, maybe German, and Korean and Chinese. And then like the next wave focused more on like the Vocaloids that people may know now, like Hatsune Miku. She's kind of like the one. But early on, I started having that fascination with language just from that, through music. So when I took French in high school, I was still very much into Vocaloid. I still really am. And I would like have dreams where I would hear or actually be talking, and sometimes it was quite literally just gibberish. There was no one set language, but it was clearly not English. So my brain was like, put all three languages that I kind of know and mix it together, and it was just like word soup. But other times it would legitimately be like stuff in French in my head or stuff in Japanese in my head, and I would respond to the person with what limited knowledge that I knew. Like, it was kind of funny because half of my sentence would be ah, blah, 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 and then the other half would be Japanese that makes sense. And I'm like, this is funny.
Dream but, logic, gotta love it.
Yeah. And I would wake up on occasion And the first thing I would say, like, to no one at all, I would just be like, half awake would be a foreign word. And like, I would wake up and be like, difference, which is like probably very poorly pronounced strawberries in French. Like, that was one of the last times I remember waking up and speaking something, because that's why it sticks in my head. I was probably like junior high school, and I just remember waking up and saying strawberries in French, and I'm like, huh? Oh, and then I snapped awake and was like, I wasn't even dreaming of strawberries. But one dream that is like still shakes me to this day, and I feel like I've told you before, is I was in French, maybe French 4, because it was when I had we called her Madame, my female French teacher. I had a dream where I was in a mall, and I ran into her in the mall, and I was like, oh, fancy seeing you here in the wild. And we had some sort of conversation. But then right before I woke up, she told me, regards en toi. And I'd never heard those words put together before in like my waking life. But I knew like regard meant like to look, to see, to watch, something with the eyes. And I was like, well, I don't really, what are you saying? And I remember asking her to dream, what do you mean? And then I woke up and I was really confused, because I'm like, I thought it was another random word salad. So I was like, let me go look this up real quick. So I go to Google Translate, type regard en toi. It means look inside yourself. And I was like,
yeah, I remember this.
I was like, no way. Cut the cameras. Like, who is playing puppeteer in my dreams right now? That is too oddly specific of a phrase, and I've never really heard anyone say that before. So I think I did go to school until, I feel like I wouldn't have not told her. I was like, oh, madame, bonjour. I had a dream with you. And guess what you told me? And I think I kind of remember her reaction. She was like, oh, wow. And she was like kind of surprised, but also happy, because, you know, it was a positive dream.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, why though? Like, divine intervention.
I mean, that is so maybe specific. At that point in your life, you needed to do some self-reflection, and she was telling you to do it.
Probably. Especially if it was junior high school, that was worse. You know, like, got to start thinking about college and adult life. So honestly, if it was, that was so oddly applicable. But I don't actually think I was in her class in junior year. I think I was in French 3 junior year, and I would have had a different professor. So it had to have been senior year, because I didn't have that dream that early in high school, I don't think. So still, that's very applicable, because that's really when adult life is about to kick off. But yeah, I still think about that dream, and I'm like, bro, that was wild.
I haven't had too many dreams where I haven't had too many dreams where I've dreamt in another language, but I have had some, and it's always interesting. And I actually had one within the last week where I don't know. I think I know why. I'm not outing myself about this one, but in the dream, I was hanging out with two friends, and one of them speaks French. That's not his first language or anything, but one of them speaks French, and the other one doesn't speak any foreign language. But for some reason, I looked to the just English speaking friend and was like, I don't remember what I said anymore, but I was like, he speaks French in Spanish. I said that in Spanish. Oh. And it was just so random.
Do you know how to say it in Spanish?
Yeah. Habla. Well, you would say el. In this case, in the dream, I didn't say el, but I was just like, habla François. No. François is France. Is French in French? François?
Francais.
Okay.
I was like, is it? No, I was like, no. France is like the word France in French, and then Francais is the language.
Okay, Francais. That's okay. French and Spanish. So I was like, habla Francais. For no reason. Because the friend wouldn't have known what I said, because he doesn't speak Spanish. And the other friend speaks French. So like, why did I say it in Spanish? And this is just really random. I haven't been interacting with any Spanish content besides nothing lately. So like,
come learn me again.
That was actually one of my I don't really call them resolutions anymore. I just be like, these are my goals for the year. One of them was to study back up on Spanish and Japanese, mm-hmm. because in my job, I started working there March last year. And that store closed, and then we opened a new location this year. So at the old location, we had a lot of Spanish-speaking people as customers, and I would just so want to be able to speak to them in Spanish, mm-hmm. because sometimes, like, I needed to explain something to them, about their transaction or whatever, or there might have been comments I wanted to make about something they were buying, but like I just couldn't. There was one time though, like it never posed a problem. If necessary, they would already have a translator on their phone and we would just talk back and forth like that. But one time this lady, if there was a shopping cart sitting around somewhere for like 15 minutes, we consider that just abandoned. So we take all the stuff out of it or whatever, or it could be a shoplifting thing. So there was a cart sitting there for too long. So my manager rolled it into the back room. And then this lady who didn't speak English came up to me and asked me where her cart was. Like I could kind of pick out the words. So she was like, "Have I seen her cart?" And I was like, I don't know what you're saying. So she pulled out her phone and then asked me in the translator, "Have I seen her cart?" She had went to the bathroom and left her cart here. So I was like, "Oh, I think I know what cart is hers." So I went into the back room and grabbed it. But I remember saying, "Un momento, por favor," because I do remember that, like just little simple things. So I went and got her cart, brought it back, and she was like, "Gracias," and that was that. But then she came through my line later, and she was still trying to like, she was speaking full on Spanish sentences to me, like I was gonna be able to respond to her, and I was just like smiling it off. But like, I'm like, why does she think that? Like, it's just odd when that happens, when they disregard, not they, but like if someone's speaking another language and it's clear that like I don't understand you, but they just keep going, and I'm like,
it's funny you say that because I just recently saw a YouTube short of this woman who was using ASL. I don't know her state of hearing, but she was saying how when people come up to her and be like, "Oh, I know ASL," she gets like excited and she's like, "Oh, you know ASL," so she'll start signing and not just like lip reading or whatever. But the people will be like, "Oh no, like I know this," and they'll start fingerspelling and they're like, "So you know how to spell in ASL, you don't know ASL." And she was like, "I don't like it when people say that because the assumption is there that, oh, so I can talk with you, I can communicate with you." And they'll start talking. And then the person is like, "Oh, actually, I just know like three words." And it's like, "Well, you should have said that."
See, that's why I don't even bother saying I know Spanish, because I can only say a few words. I can understand more than I can speak. Mm-hmm. So that I ran into that at work several times too, where like, I can pick out certain things.
Boast like, "Oh yeah, like I can talk with you right now."
But some people might not know, as far as ASL goes, that like speaking it and just spelling it are two different things. So like when you,
it's the same thing with a written and spoken language. Like you can spell things with the alphabet, but you kind of got to put those into words and speak. So like they should put two and two together. It's not the same thing.
We don't get a lot of education about that kind of stuff, though. So
not at all. We had an ASL club. That wasn't really an official, like they didn't really do much, I don't think, in high school. But I joined a couple meetings, but like not much went down. So I was like, okay. But yeah, it's kind of sad that that's not more accessible.
Yeah, I think it should
and,
be.
And like talked about. It literally is a language that many people can benefit from knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
whether you're like, if you have a hearing condition, hearing impediment, or if you can hear just fine, it can be useful in so many situations. Mm-hmm. Again, relevant to work, there was someone who, I feel like he was probably completely deaf. And I didn't know at first, but so I was speaking to him like normal. And then he signed to me at first. And then I was like, "Oh, sorry, I don't understand." So I don't know if I think he pulled out his phone and he just started typing to me. And I can be very accommodating after that. Like, I was like, "This is actually kind of cool. Like, we're still communicating fine." Even when he wasn't typing out his things, he could gesture to things in a certain way. And then I can gesture back in a certain way. So we knew we were getting our points across. And I thought it was really cool. But like I said earlier, I really feel like everybody should learn a second language. And I really wish schools, especially like public schools, because that's really the majority of people probably go to public schools. And at least in our area,
I say specifically like America, because like,
yeah.
It's like not as big of a problem.
I'm not even going to get into that one.
That's another episode.
Yeah. Cause we'll probably do this. Like we have
like several parts to this,
to the language one. So just like the, "Am I the a-hole" one, like this will come up several times cause it's stuff that we talk about all the time. But, I feel like in our area you have Spanish and French and
sometimes German.
You have Latin. My high school had German at one point, and then I guess we didn't have the funding, or we didn't have a German teacher in the area.
Schools in other cities around have German as the option.
Yeah, I was gonna. Some of them have ASL as well, but in our school system, it was just Latin, Spanish, and French. And Latin, I took that for a semester. I don't think they should teach us that. I think they should replace it with something like ASL. But Latin was fun. It's just interesting. You can't use it unless you're going to go into the medical profession. It's not going to be relevant to you.
Or like some science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really wish we had access to language learning resources more, because it just really, I hate to use this word because it sounds, what's the word I want to use? Words are hard. Like, we're doing a language episode and I'm struggling with words, but words are cool, but words are difficult sometimes. Anyway, I don't want to sound uppity, but it's really enriching to learn another language, because I don't think I would have been so interested in traveling abroad if I didn't take language classes, because if you just speak English, it's just really limiting. So when I got into college, I took Japanese, and that was actually my minor, and I really enjoyed learning Japanese. I was good at it, more on paper than speaking, but like, my sensei and me got along really well. She was like really encouraging, but I had a friend.
Is she the one that likes haiku?
Yes. Oh, you know what? Wait, I made this note when you were speaking earlier. When you said that one of the songs is called Blackboard, it reminded me that one time my sensei, so our, I think it's called Canvas now.
Yes. That's all I've ever used.
But like in college, the platform where you submit your assignments and like that hub. Okay. Well, yeah. Canvas. For me, when I was in school, it was called Blackboard.
I think my freshman year of college, we used Blackboard for one professor because he was older. But then like that year, they got rid of it. So he was like, dang, got to learn Canvas now.
Yeah. Well, Blackboard, she misspelled it one time on the itinerary, and it was Bulk Borad.
I still have that on my character name list idea because I was like, why does that Loki sound cool?
It's hilarious. So when you said Blackboard, I just thought of Bulk Borad. Yeah. And like, shout out to my sensei. I miss her, but I don't ever want to run into her because I have forgotten like all my Japanese, and it's just really disappointing.
You're like, short circus.
Genki desu. Gotta go.
Yeah,
that's all I got for you. But like, I even made
that's
it into
me
the
with my French teacher. Like, I'm so disappointed I didn't continue learning it, like at least on my own in college, if not take a class, because I want it to be at a speaking level now. If I ever ran into her on the street, she'd be like, ah, and I'm like, I don't know enough to hold a basic conversation at this point.
Self-study is so difficult for me.
I have negative discipline. And like, well, but like the, when was it? Was it this summer? I feel like maybe it was actually a while ago where I was like re-teaching myself hiragana, katakana in Japanese to like test how much do I remember? Because I do not.
I feel like it was like your winter break or something.
I think it was winter break because it wasn't like last summer. And I was like, surprisingly, I remember more than I thought I would. But at the same time, I'm like, this is literally the foundation, and I'm still confused, and that's because I don't know how to study languages on my own.
Yeah, if I don't have a structure, if I don't have some kind of a study plan, class was really good for me. Even though I could talk to my classmates no problem, but when it came time, like we would have assignments where we had to speak to a native speaker, I would always be so nervous because, like, luckily they gave us a prompt, so it's not like we had to pull stuff out of thin air to talk about. Like, we had talk about your hobbies or like recommend a restaurant to them and like tell them about what kind of food they serve and stuff like that. Talk about sports, whatever. So
thank you.
At least we had that, but it was still like nerve-wracking. What do you say?
I think it's racking.
Okay. Nerve-wracking.
Bro, no, I go through that too. Like language, bro. Like I would be like, is it R-A-C-K-I-N-G nerve-wracking or is it like W-R like wrecking?
Okay, so I don't even know why I asked because I never say wrecking. I always
say
racking.
I say racking,
but
too,
it just
but when
came
I go
out.
To write it, it's like it feels weird for some reason.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it is.
Why are you racking nerves? Like, what is it?
Okay, because I went to go Google it and it came up as this. The WR, like it blended the two that I just said, but I think it is RACK.
Well, yeah. So it's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking to
I do this so much.
Speak in other languages to people. So when I graduated, like I even made it into the Japanese National Honor Society. Like I was good. She was like, keep going, keep doing it, but I just can't on my own. And like backtracking a little bit, our general area, the different public school systems, you know, some of them got more money than others. So I have a friend who was in my Spanish. I met him in college, but he's from a neighboring city. So he was in Spanish. He was in Japanese class, and like that boy is good. And he had a strong foundation because they taught Japanese at his high school. And then his Japanese teacher from high school actually, I think he actually came to teach at our college too. So like he had a strong foundation. I was like, not jealous of him, but like, I wish I could have been as outgoing as he is and have had that base, because I feel like I could have gone farther, but you know.
See, my problem is that, well, it's not the only problem. One of my problems is that I learned a lot of random vocabulary in Japanese thanks to listening to music for basically my entire life in Japanese. But I don't really know much about the grammatical structure and like the semantics and stuff, because once again, I don't know anybody and I didn't take like a formal class in it. So I remember the one time you gave me those Japanese fold out with a bunch of like basic things you can learn. And was that from your classes?
No, I bought it at the bookstore.
Okay. I had started making like a list on loose leaf paper, and I looked at it earlier. I started like 2017 of random words I just could think of that I just knew. And most of them came from music, surprisingly, and not a lot came from anime. but though some did, but like it was mostly from music. And I picked it back up a couple years ago because my current number is like 218 words.
Whoa.
That I had just that I just knew. But ask me to put any of them in a sentence. I can do like a decent chunk, because it's like family members or colors or something that I could like make really elementary sentences, but I can't do that with any of those words for real, because I don't.
That's hilarious.
I don't have a foundation of like school teaching me, or like having a Japanese speaker or like a French speaker or whomever, Korean speaker around me that I could talk in these languages with. So I mean, I could have been more outgoing as well, and like pen pal or something.
Yeah, because I had those resources. I had Japanese exchange students. When I was in Korea, I was surrounded by Koreans. Like I could have. I'm just saying that casually, but like I studied abroad in Korea for 4 months because just
casually did a semester in Korea.
No, that's not what's casual. No, I just
was like guys.
No. So yeah, I studied abroad for 4 months, almost 5 months in Korea, because when I got into college, it was like the peak of my K-pop fandom, and like I was really interested. I taught myself the alphabet, and I could like say some basic stuff. So when I got to college, I was like, I'm gonna learn Korean, but we didn't have any Korean classes, which is why I took Japanese. So it's funny because Japanese is kind of like the backup option, but I ended up going further with that than Korean because I had the resources. But yeah, since I couldn't learn it in college, I was like, well, how about I just study abroad in Korea and learn it there.
Go to the homeland.
Right. So I did that, and we had intensive language class, 2 hours, 5 days a week. And I did learn quite a bit when I was there. And it was so cool to be able to just like leave class and go see all of these things in action. So like you're at the subway, or like you're going to a restaurant, or you're at a store, and you can put these things into action right away. Like being immersed it was a really cool experience.
I think there's a disconnect I had for French classes too, because we don't have
outside
a lot of
the classroom. Yeah. You don't get to
like boulangerie. Like we don't have that here necessarily. So I couldn't really connect that with anything that I knew. Just learned it on a page. And it's like, it's different being there, you know?
Definitely. So, I don't remember where I was going with that, but
went to Korea.
Yeah, learned the language. Or whatever. When I left Korea, I didn't have the resources anymore to continue self-studying. So then I just forgot all of it. Oh, no. And the same thing, not like,
could you hop on somebody's live, like an idol's live, and like see if you can understand what they're saying?
Oh no.
Like, do you test yourself that way?
I don't.
I used to try to do that with Japanese like streamers or just people who post videos in Japanese, and I'm like, I don't know. Dang. I heard like the pronoun of like if they say ore watashi or something, mm-hmm. and then like maybe a random word, but like I said, the grammatical structure is still iffy to me, so I couldn't even try to guess like what they're referring to. Yeah. Because like the articles, I still cannot remember like what ga and wa. No, isn't that more like a, like an owning? Like it's something.
It's a possessive.
Possessive. Particle, that's the word. Or something like that. I do remember that, but.
So like, do you know what like a cell phone is in Japanese? Is it kenzai?
Denwa.
Denwa. That's like a house phone type thing. Like it's a, well, I don't know, honestly. Because there, you know, there are different words. Like there's textbook word and there's,
yeah.
But anyway, so it would be like, miya no phone. Okay. It's your phone.
And so. I know the song is, like they say watashi no mm-hmm. to something. So. Yeah, that's the only one I can remember though. Like that, I can like consistently remember. The other ones I get mixed up, and I'm like, well, "This is because you don't study."
Yeah,
what is it? Benkyo?
Benkyo?
Benkyo? Study? Muzukashi. So hard. So basically, self-discipline is key to language learning.
Yeah, so I feel like we've yapped a bit, but I do want to like end it on one note, one related note. It was the first drop of the whole series. I don't know, it might be. But related to when you were saying that you learned a lot of your Japanese words from music, mm-hmm. I had compiled a list. I don't remember where I did it. So like I wanted to find it for this episode, but I didn't. So I'll just like find it later. But I was trying to like brain dump all of the songs that I've learned in other languages just because I like that. Like, I don't know what the, like, several Spanish songs, like Spanish from the movie Coco, the Disney movie Coco. I learned a couple songs. I know Con La Brisa from the Black Panther Wakanda Forever soundtrack, Telepatea by Kali Uchis, like songs like that. Spanish is just much easier to grasp mm-hmm. as far as singing. So I know several Spanish songs. I know a couple in Portuguese because there was this singer, he passed away like a few years ago. And I was like, no, it was like right after I bonded with somebody over him and then he passed away. But his name is Joao Gilberto. And like, I've taught myself a couple of songs in Portuguese because of him. And I couldn't tell you, I don't even know how to say hi in Portuguese. It's like, I don't know how to say hi, but I know how to say thank you, which is weird. But so like that's a language difference too. In Spanish is gracias, in Portuguese is obrigado. Like it doesn't even sound similar at all.
Yeah.
But so yeah, I knew a couple songs in Portuguese and the movie Brave, right? There was that lullaby or whatever, mm-hmm. Noble Maiden Fair. I taught myself the Gaelic version of it.
Yeah, low-key me too.
The movie Moana. I taught myself, what is the, she sang the song I Am Moana towards the end of the movie. And I taught myself that in Tahitian. Ooh,
and then the, it was in the first movie, the first half of the first movie where it was like when they were the scene.
The song, like the song in the movie. Where the line used to see.
No, not that one. It was the scene where she was like seeing scenes of her ancestors when she was in that cave and they came. I can't remember the name of the song right now. Like,
oh, no. Where, yeah.
It's not Where We Are or something because that was like the first song.
Away.
That one. I taught myself that one. Because
oh, snap.
I don't know if I remember it anymore.
Was it in Tahitian or was it Te Reo Maui? Was it the like New Zealand language or do you remember Tahitian?
Maui.
Okay.
But yeah, I was very fascinated by the way it sounded in the movie. And then I really liked the song. And then I did a presentation in high school with a friend about the type of boat that Polynesian cultures mm-hmm. used like back in the day. They probably still do. And we used the scene from Moana, from that song as like part of our presentation. So I didn't sing it on that boat. But I was like, that was my era of like, oh, I love this song. Let me learn it.
Oh, yeah. I need to correct myself then, because, yeah, the song that I taught myself, it wasn't in Sihishin. It was Te Reo Maui. Mm-hmm. So the indigenous New Zealand language. And then, well, that's all that's coming to mind now. But, like, well, of course, I knew Japanese songs. I knew Korean songs because I was into that, too. So, like, I just had, like, an arsenal of songs that I could sing in other languages, but I could not say a sentence to you.
I held back from talking about it because I didn't want to, like, truly yet. But
we'll go into that the next time we bring up languages.
The way I am familiar, like, at this point in life, Japanese sounds really familiar to me if I hear it. Like, not to the point, like, if I hear someone speaking English, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is, like, home. But, like, I've been listening to it since I was, like, 8 or something. So when I hear it, it's just like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. And I can, like, pick out words. And it's mostly because I would, like, sing a lot of songs that I liked just on repeat to, like, familiarize myself with, like, how the singer sang it. So I could, like, copy them, mm-hmm. basically. So sometimes I wouldn't even know what the song is, like, necessarily.
Yeah.
I would just be saying words. Like, it's, like, more of me being fascinated with the phonetics of it. And then I'd be like, oh, what are you talking about? And I look at the lyrics and I'm like, this is depressing.
Yeah. But, or like, oh, I have no business singing this song.
Yeah. But like, I would sing it a lot as just language practice before I realized I was doing it for language practice.
Yeah.
Because once you're just mimicking
sounds at first.
Yeah. Once I found the heroes on YouTube who would do like lyric videos, especially if they had like the animation of the original video still up there and it just integrated the lyrics just perfectly so I can enjoy all at once, I would then start being like, oh wow, okay, well this word means this and this word means this, so when I'm singing it I can like piece together like whatever word, the article, another word, I'm like, this is a sentence. And that started off young, but and I'm mostly hyper fixated on Japanese though, so I'm so much more familiar with just randomly saying things Japanese than Korean, even though I got really into K-pop. For some reason, it is still really hard for me to, like, pronounce Korean.
Their word chains are, like, not word chains, but, yeah, kind of. Like, their blocks of syllables mm-hmm. that create a word tend to be longer than in Japanese.
Yeah.
And they're both spoken so fast, but...
They are, and that's the problem. Like, Japanese, I can literally... I have been practicing to this day, like, certain songs that are basically... rapping at this point, but they're just like singing really fast and I can just do it, like, no problem, like just give me the lyrics and I'm just like Korean. I'll be trying to like sing along and I'm like, I'm just saying get
tongue-tied.
Absolutely nothing, like this. I used to joke around saying that my native language is nonsense because like I just have a lot of random thoughts that make no sense and I'm like, bro, let's just make this a joke. But truly though, I just can't. I don't know. I've been listening to it for so long and it still feels foreign, I think, is the problem.
I guess there's just no space for Korean. It's just Japanese.
No, there's tons of space. Like before we started this podcast, the last song I was listening to was K-pop.
I just mean for language purposes.
And I was like, listening. No, I still want to learn it. And you know, that's another thing that people like joke on others, not necessarily me directly, but just in general. Like if you were interested in something that was foreign, it doesn't have to be like anime or K-pop or whatever, and you're like, well, I want to learn this language because I'm interested in this thing so I can like understand this thing more. People be like, that's so cringy, you only want to learn this because like you like Naruto. And I'm like,
and
I mean, if that's the thing that helps you like stay determined on this path of learning, what's the problem? Also, what's wrong with wanting to know your hobbies more deeply? Because low-key, I wanted to learn Japanese so that I could understand, like, the cultural nuances in anime more. And just, like, not even to watch it without needing the subs or whatever. But, because that's a long way to go. But I just don't understand that line of bullying.
I think
they're just envious. They don't have
something. Y'all can stay monolingual.
Right.
That's fine.
Stay passionless.
Keep your brain small. No, it's no consequence to me. But yeah. So that was languages.
For now.
Yeah, we'll definitely be revisiting this topic again because languages are fun. And like, there are things like just the semantics of, not the semantics, but like etymology of things in the English language that are just fascinating, or like phrases that specifically Black people say, like, where do we get these from? Or like phrases that are white people phrases.
That came up a lot in my class, like that concept of different dialects.
Uh-huh. So all those things are interesting, and we will definitely be getting into those at some other point in this on this podcast. So yeah, hope you enjoyed. Mm-hmm. If you want to make a comment about maybe other languages you know or wish you could learn, have plans to learn, whatever, please drop those in the comments. And make sure to follow us on our social medias at Related Note Pod. And listen to us, if you would prefer, instead of watching, on any platform that you get your podcasts from. And yeah, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Until we yap again.
Bye. Bye.